Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity. With the golf doctor, Charlie Epps, here's your host, John Granato.
Happy Saturday morning to everybody who's listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio, live from Houston, Texas. We have Bill Harmon live from Tascana in Palm Springs. Mr. Harmon, how are you doing?
Good morning there, Charlie. How are you doing this morning?
You know, I'm doing pretty darn good. I'm highly motivated. Been up since about 4:30 because I'm old and I don't sleep very good. But we're ready for the show. We got a lot to talk about. There's golf in the Pacific Rim, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. One of our guests from last week said goodbye to us and got on a plane and flew over to China. That's a long ways, Bill. That is incredible what these guys have to do to make their money, isn't it?
Well, it's funny because I was thinking this morning that, you know, Bill Haas was on our show last week, and he got on a plane the next day. He's presently tied for fourth in China, going to the last round, 12 under par, having a very good tournament. He's five shots back, but two shots out of second, and some people say, what difference does that make? Well, I think second place is over $1 million. That's how much difference it makes. So, you know, if Bill can play good tomorrow, what it does, and he kind of talked about it on the show last week, Charlie, about how important these fall events are. They're playing for a lot of money. And when you live in the world of pro golf, everything is a number. Where did you finish on the money list? How many FedEx Cup points do you have? President Cup points, world ranking points, Ryder Cup points. So they're constantly playing for something. So tomorrow's round is a big round for Bill. It'll allow him to get off to a very, very good start in his 2016-17 season. And it might not look like a big deal, let's say, to the golfing public, but as you know, teaching world-class players, you know, when they finish in the top five in a big event, well, that does a lot for their confidence.
It does a lot for their security to keep their cards. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that these guys have to prove themselves every year to keep their cards. And a kid like Bill Haas, you know, he failed the first time going around. And so that's always in the back of their mind, the security. But the thing I have a hard time with, these World Golf Championship, a lot of money for 72 players, no cut. They get all the points for everything else. And then right the same week here in the United States, we have a tour event called the Sanderson Farms, and they don't get any of those points. Is that fair?
Well, that's probably a good question. I didn't know they didn't get any points. So I wasn't aware that what they're doing. But their money goes to the money list, I assume.
That money is official, yes. But, you know, last year, Justin Thomas, he won this event, and he didn't get any Ryder Cup points.
Yeah, that's not right. And I don't think this tournament gets you in the Masters either. And I'm not too sure that's correct. You know, my father is the guy who changed that rule at a Masters Champions dinner. He said anybody that wins a tour event was the master of professional golf that week and should get an invite into the Masters. And my dad was the guy who came up with the idea to change the exemption rule to getting a spot in the Masters. And his whole theory was you were the master of professional golf that week and you should get in. And I think that... You know, there's only two or three of these events, and what's it going to hurt the Masters to let these kids in or older men in that win this tournament? Do you agree?
I agree 100%, and to the point where now they have the world amateur, you know, spots for the to get into the Masters for amateurs, and so these World Golf Championships creates a interesting, you know, not problem, but the champion should be in the Masters for sure. But, you know, Hideki Matsuyama, who's just a wonderful kid, Bill, he's got the three-shot lead over a kid that just seems to be making birdie after birdie, Russell Knox. What do you know about Russell Knox?
The first thing I know about him is he's really good. The second thing I know is Darren Clark made a huge mistake not picking him for the Ryder Cup team. That had to be something personal because he was by far the best player of the ones that were not picked. And I guess because he didn't play on the European Tour, maybe that influenced Darren, but that was a huge mistake. Don't you think, Charlie, not picking him for the Ryder Cup team? And it could have cost him. You know, because Jay Haas said to me the other day, he said, you know, everybody acts like a six-point win is a rout in these events, but that's just a matter of flip-flopping three matches, right?
So close. You better believe it.
So it's, close. And yes. So Russell Knox actually could have been the difference.
Russell Knox could have played on the American team.
Isn't that something?
Qualified both ways. I mean, he was born in the United States. Is that correct?
I don't know, but I know that he's been over here a long time. But I also know about him, Charlie, that he's not one of the long hitters. And so he's been accomplishing an awful lot with precision. And I actually love watching him play. He has a lot of composure. He plays his game. Got a little bit of an old-school swing. By that, I mean he's got a lot of leg drive. His left knee's bent well past impact, which, by the way, a lot of very good players have done over the years. And didn't hurt their back, by the way. And so I like a little. You know, I'm 66 years old, so I'm a little partial to some of the old school stuff. I'll admit it. I'm a little bit of a pinhead when it comes to golf. I'm just not convinced that the inverted C was a bad swing. Let's say because some pretty damn good players used it.
Well, Bill, I've been around the game a little too, and I keep going back to what we were taught. By the veterans and how to put the club on the ball and some of this modern day stuff I really don't agree with. I mean, maybe it's because I'm old school, but keep your head steady, you know, give it a good turn, and hit it with your hands, wrist, and arms. You know that to
well,
me.
Well, Jay Haas is pretty much an example of that. He's
yes.
a guy who's played very good for a long time using his hands and arms as good as anybody.
Yeah. And Russell Knox, who has to, you know, use it to create speed, and golf is a game of speed. But having said that, you know, the new guys are some good things. But anyways.
Yes, they are. They're wonderful players.
Yeah. The Sanderson Farms, a kid named Garrison Murray has a two-shot lead over Greg Owen, a journeyman golf professional, but Graham Dillette, who's an interesting story in itself, a Canadian that took himself off the tour because he was suffering from, you know, the yips and chipping.
Well, here's a guy who was on the President's Cup team 2 years ago at Muirfield Village.
That's right.
And it just shows you how, and oddly enough, I think that's the tournament he withdrew from with Muirfield Village because the fairways were cut so tight that mm-hmm. He knew if he sucked that ball off the green on 18, he wouldn't be able to get the next one on the green, Charlie.
Yes, exactly right. But then right behind him is Lucas Glover, our good friend and buddy for many, many years. But here's a kid I want you to watch out for, Cody Gribble. Came out of University of Texas.
Did he play with Jordan Spieth at Texas?
Yes, he did. He did.
Yeah.
And he's a lefty. He shot 63. He made it this year from the Web.com Tour. Somebody we got to watch. He's a good kid, good Texan, but he's a left-hander. So, but having said that, we're going to break here in a couple minutes. We're going to come back with Bill and talk more golf, and we're going to talk about Lydia Ko, the young lady on the LPGA Tour who fired her caddy and is in kind of a little slump. The ladies are playing over in Malaysia, the Simi Darby Championship, and being led by Fenn, 13-under, and Anna Norquist is 12-under. And but you don't see many of the lady American professionals, Bill, so we'll have to discuss that with time.
Well, they're not good enough. You know, the scores don't lie in golf. It's a global game, you know. Look who's leading in China, Hideki, and Russell Knox is second, you know. So,
yes.
But the American males certainly have fared better in global golf than the women have. And I wish I could tell you I knew why, but I really can't tell you that I know why.
That
they're not as good.
That is a good question. And to me, all of the Asian ladies, you know, their tempo and timing is just so, so beautiful. And but there's the music to tell us that we're going to break. We're brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires business performance. Stay tuned, and Bill and I will be right back on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Thank you. John is not with us this morning, but I'm Charlie Epps in studio in Houston, Texas. Bill Harmon is in California, where he lives and teaches with his pretty wife, Robin. How's Robin doing?
Everything's good out here. She's doing great. My two boys, Zach and Jay, are doing great. Zach, I'm driving to L.A. Today to see my son, Jay. And tomorrow we come to Houston, Charlie. I get my first checkup at MD Anderson. Got a battery of tests on Monday from 8 to 5. So, and then hopefully on Tuesday they'll tell me that I'm cancer-free is my wish.
Isn't that neat, Bill? You know, it's been quite a trip for you. Starting back in, I guess, in May of last year, or this year, excuse me. And now you're coming to your first checkup, and wish you all the luck. And here in MD Anderson, they got some pretty good guys over there that know what the heck they're doing, huh?
I would say so, and I hope that you get some good news.
Excellent. And, you know, sometimes we always focus on the leaders of the events. But at the WGC, the World Golf Championship in Malaysia, the reigning PGA champion is last. He shoots 78, 79, 77. Adam Scott, how about this round? 68, 80, 64. DJ, Dustin Johnson's at the back of the field.
Patrick Reed,
Bubba. You know, it just shows you that it's such a delicate game that just, traveling halfway around the world and playing golf when it's midnight versus, you know, your time clock is off, that's difficult to do, Bill.
It is really hard to do, Charlie, and it reminds me of something of what Bill Haas said last week on our show. When I asked him about what he thought about his 62-year-old father winning a Champions Tour event, and he said, that doesn't surprise me at all. He said, what surprises me is how long he's been good. He's been good for 40 years. And so we see guys like Jimmy and EJ and Adam Scott and Bubba Watson, and when they're on, they make the game look easy, but the game is not easy. And you have to bring it every single shot. Every time you swing a golf club, you have to perform. And what you did yesterday or the year before or in the PGA Championship, Jimmy Walker won the PGA Championship. And if he makes bad swings and bad decisions, he's going to hit a bad shot. So probably one of the most difficult things about golf, I think, Charlie, issue for the amateur player, but what we've just done is shown you an example of the professional player, is the emotional discipline it takes to shoot a good round of golf. You've got to be into it on every single swing and every single shot.
That is really explains that, you know, sometimes golfers get criticized because we don't want any noise, we don't want any distractions. But, you know, the great argument between Sam Snead and the great hitter from Boston, Ted Williams, you know, in golf you have to play your foul balls, and it's you've got to be more precise and into it all the time. You can't give up, because one shot, just like what happened to Patrick Reed, a good shot turned into a bad shot in that he hit the flag, it came out of the hole and went in the water. And he went on to make a triple bogey. I mean, those are the type of breaks that mentally you really have to have that right attitude. I saw that happen to Jim Furyk one year, and he went on to win the tournament at Firestone. So,
When Bill Haas won the winning point to win the President's Cup, he was in a bunker on the last hole, and his opponent, Sungmin Bae, had chili dipped a chip, so all Bill had to do was to get it on the green and make a par. And he told me the pin was very close to kind of a false front. He said, I actually aimed away from the flag, because if I hit the pin, it was possible that it would hit the pin and bounce back off the green. How's that for good thinking in the heat of the battle? He actually formulated a plan that the worst thing he could do, and the only way he could lose this match really would be to shoot at the flag and hit the pin, get a terrible break. But those things happen if you allow them to happen. So he took that possibility out of play and aimed 3 or 4 feet left of the flag.
You have to stay in the game, in the moment. You know, the value of warming up also, Bill, before your round. Talk a little about that, what Bill Haas told us last week, a two-hour warm-up to make sure he hits the fairway the first shot.
Well, Bill is a big proponent of playing golf, playing more than practicing. He thinks you should only practice if you're really hitting it bad. If you're hitting it good, he thinks you should play more. And so he thinks if you have to go through a two-hour routine to get your drive in the fairway on the first hole, you might not be that good. He thinks that you learn how to get your drive on the fairway on the first hole by going over the first hole and see if your swing will stand up to the challenge. So I think, Charlie, especially nowadays in this age where we've built some of the most beautiful driving ranges and they have so many good range balls and targets, we fall in love with the range because it's so much fun to practice. And the turf is good and the balls are good and the targets are good, that it's great therapy. But unless we're working on something that's going to help us get it in the fairway on the first hole, we're kind of just wasting time and just wasting swing. So I understand it, because I'm very comfortable on the range because there's no consequence. If I hit a bad shot, I just pull up another brand-new Titleist Pro V1, give it a perfect lie on a perfect range, and hit out to a beautiful target area. You know, everything is very but the golf course, I'm not as comfortable. So to do things, I've got to get on the course.
I like how you use the word consequence, because my daughter, who's the mother of four beautiful children, her deal is little John or one of the kids, if you do that, you're going to have a consequence. You're going to pay for your transgressions. And
I like that.
You know, and sometimes John will go right to the nth degree. But yes, you know, the fear of failure is doesn't exist on the driving range. You just hit ball after ball after ball. But you reinforce sometimes your bad habits and not your good habits. And I know a lot of good players. You know, there's four guys from Argentina in the Sanderson tournament this week, and four of them grew up at golf courses that did not have a driving range, and they're on the PGA Tour. You know, even at Wingfoot,
tells you something, doesn't it?
Yeah, even where you grew up, Wingfoot didn't have much of a driving range.
Not really. No, I never practiced at Wingfoot. I just played.
Played.
But they did have two good courses.
I met a friend of Dick's last week that said that when he was a kid that he'd meet Dick at the end of the golf course so he could go play. Go someplace. He didn't want to play any more golf. So, anyways, that's Bill Harmon. I'm Charlie Epps. We're going to come back and talk more golf with Bill and talk about what he's been through. And this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire business performance.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Thank you. Yes, we're back. We got another two segments with Bill Harmon, and I got into radio many, many years ago because of a good friend that, you know, was at the radio and station, and he said, "Come on, let's teach golf on the radio." And I said, "Well, we'll give it a try. Golf's a visual game, and you try to visualize what it is you're trying to do." And so I'm going to ask Bill a few questions over the next couple segments on teaching golf. And I know he just celebrated a big milestone. You took your first road trip to see your good friend and golf professional Jay Haas, and he at the age of 62 is playing unbelievably well. But even him, who has played golf for 50 years, has to make some changes. And what did you experience on your first road trip to L.A.?
Well, I'll just give you a little bit of I'll tell you the story. About 6 weeks ago, he texted me, and he said he had nothing in his swing. He'd been fighting a bad back for a year and a half. And he was upset because he doesn't feel that he's finished golf-wise. It's just that his body won't let him swing. So we agreed that we had to make some adjustments, and if he couldn't use his body as well, then maybe we had to use his hands better, Charlie. And so Jay has always been a guy who swings the club head and has a relationship with the club face. So we strengthened his left-hand grip, and for the listeners out there, that's turning your left hand more to the right, which tends to close the club face a little bit. His club face is getting very open. His grip was weak, and he felt that he was kind of slapping at it to get it to hit it straight. And he immediately felt like he would get better. And even though his first tournament he finished 40th, he said he hit more good shots that week than he'd hit in a couple of years. I think the next week he finished 11th. And then he won the next week. Part of the moral of this story is that you have to keep trying to get better. And sometimes you have to improvise. As we get older, our body can't do what it used to do, so you might have to try something different. Another moral of the story is we did this all through the phone. I didn't see him. He sent me a couple films of his swing. We texted back and forth. I never saw him once in person, so I didn't really have to use any of the new stuff, the body track or balance plates or all those things. Because Jay Haas is a little bit old school in the sense he works off of his club face. Now, when I was up in L.A., we only discussed the most minor of swing changes. It was almost not even an issue. But yesterday, his back went out on him in the first round. And he thought of withdrawing three or four times. It was spasming. And he somehow got it around in three under par. And the way he did it was he had to use his hands and the club head and his arms better. And so because he has a relationship with the club face and his hands, Charlie, he was able to improvise and get it around and shoot 69. Now, he does not know today whether he can play or not, but I think had he not had that relationship and he was strictly a body player, he would not have been able to get it around. So I know Charlie's a big advocate of this, and I am also. I think we have to teach the beginning golfer and, in many cases, every golfer how to use the club face, the hands, and the arms properly, and then you blend it with the body and you can become a much better player. But in my view, for the amateur golfer, the body swing or the thought of it most people do it incorrectly, and all they do is come over the top of it more.
And it's a misconception, and I think a lot of the over-the-top golf swings are as a result. You know, if you put a club in somebody's hand, they're going to swing the club, and they're going to swing it downward. And the golf swing, the backswing is an upswing. You got to create an angle, and it's got to go up. Then it comes down, and as it approaches the golf ball, it's got to go back up again. And I think people should practice, especially with the ball on the tee, to not to disturb the tee and to hit up and swing up and through the ball. I think you'll improve a slice incredibly if you hit more up on the ball instead of down on the ball. Do you agree or disagree, Bill?
Well, I think, you know, when the people think about the body, they use their upper body, and they come way outside. Now they're coming down too steep. And their body knows now if they remain on that path, they're going to stick the club in the ground.
Right.
So they intuitively back up on it now.
Yes.
All of this happening in a quarter of a second, by the way. And all kinds of things are wrong. I think I like to change the shape of people's swings, which is what I think you're talking about, Charlie. And I think you can change the shape of people's swing. My brother Craig has a drill where he says, bring it back low and bring it too high. And if you do that, you're always hitting it from the inside and releasing
right.
the club, and you can draw the ball. So I just think a lot of people have a misconception of what they're trying to do. I believe they have a virus in their computer where they're telling themselves the wrong thing to do. But most people, back to our original premise, don't know what the club head and the hands and the arms are supposed to do, let's say from waist high to waist high.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're trying to do the wrong thing, you have no chance. If you're trying to do the right thing and you know what the right thing to do, golf is still pretty difficult, as we alluded to, by the performance of Jimmy Walker, Adam Scott, Patrick Reed, and Bubba Watson over in China. So it's a mistake-prone game played by a flawed species trying to do it perfectly, which I think your friend Bob Rotello said.
My Uncle Bob, a lot of good insight there. When you leave your student and you want him to he or she to hit golf balls, what kind of instruction do you give them other than what you've been working on? Is there anything else that you send your student away with that our listeners could benefit from?
Well, I'm lucky because I work at a club, where most of the members live at that club. And I tell them to go out in the afternoon by themselves, and hit balls on a hole that they don't like and work on the swing changes on a hole that they don't like and go out there with six or seven balls until you get comfortable. See, eventually, Charlie, in my view, the last piece of the puzzle is trust. If we can get them to do it on the range, that doesn't mean they're going to trust it on the course. So we have to go with them kind of and hold their hand. I'm a big believer in working with my students on a golf course and on the very hole that bothers them. And you have to build that confidence and that trust. And you can't do that unless you've been successful overcoming your fear or trepidation of a certain hole. It's no different in professional golf, I'll guarantee it. I heard Jack Nicklaus say one time there's three or four holes on every course that don't fit his eye. And what he would do is he'd come up with a game plan to play those holes in the tournament, but just by trying to make a par, not even trying to make a birdie. So he had already formulated a plan. Most players are dreading that hole before they get to it because they don't have a plan. So I'm a big believer of bringing the student right to the place of their fear and trepidation and see if we can work through it and hit some good shots. And so, therefore, before they tee off, they already have a plan on how to play that hole.
You know, the value of watching somebody play on the golf course is so valuable. I've got a student in town that we're working, and I said, now you go out and play golf, and I'm going to come out and watch you. And I could pick out the shots that he was going to miss because of the different angles that they get themselves in. and they can't really visualize how they want to make their ball move. So, yes, get your golf professional. Have he or she go to the golf course with you. Take a three-hole playing lesson, and I guarantee you, your game's going to improve drastically. So this is the music for our last break before we come back with Bill Harmon. This is Charlie Epps, brought to you by the Puerto Vallarta ProAm.com. When you come back, we'll talk more about it. This is Charlie Epps on SB Nation Radio from Houston, Texas.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
I'm sitting in for John Granato this Saturday morning, live from Houston, Texas, on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, talking with Bill Harmon, who is in California. And I've got a question for Bill. We've been talking how to improve your game and different things you do to your swing, so on and so forth. Lydia Ko, who at a young age has won 14 LPGA events, has been, you know, really good. She's won four times this year. Now she has changed caddies. She's changed her swing. I think some of it has to do, as she matures as a young lady, her body changes. But why do you think she's doing what she's doing, Bill?
Well, I think, first of all, she's allowed to have a slump because she's never had one. She's one of the most remarkable young golfers in the history of the game. And so, you know, it's easy to overreact for the first, you know, bad couple months on tour. But, you know, golf is a very fickle game. She was going along very good, leading the Women's Open by two or three shots the last day, and she made a very poor decision on the ninth hole with the lead when she tried to get over a hazard out of the rough, and she dumped it in the rough, made a double bogey. And since then, she really hadn't been the same. And, Charlie, you know how fragile the mind is in confidence, because before she was kind of automatic with the lead. You know, Lydia Ko had the lead on Sunday. The tournament was all over. So we can't discount the fact that she's human. And when you lose a big tournament like that that was yours to win, it could have a residual effect. You know, she's changed her swing to what Mr. Ledbetter calls the A swing. And it's a different way of swinging the club. It's not that there's anything wrong with it, per se. But it wasn't necessarily the swing she was using to the couple of years prior to that, her ascension to number one. And I have a theory about players that have great rhythm. Jay Haas has great rhythm. Lydia Ko has great rhythm. It's actually easier for them to change their swing because they have more time to implement a movement change. Where a fast swinger, Lanny Watkins, Eliza Ball, they swing so quickly they don't have time to make a major swing change. And so early on, they're able to make the change and make it work. But they also have the ability to overcorrect because of the same reason, because they have such great rhythm that they have now more time to overcorrect. And perhaps she has gone to the other side of some of these moves. And I have no doubt that she'll figure it out and get back to good play again. But will it be as good as it once was? Who knows? It's very hard to dominate golf because you are human and it is a hard game. And those putts don't always go in, and not every 6-iron goes 3 feet from the hole. So it will be interesting for me to see how she deals with adversity. If I were a betting man, I would bet on Lydia Ko to deal with adversity, because she has maybe the best demeanor on a golf course of anyone I've ever seen.
We're definitely going to find out. The other missing person in action is Jordan Spieth. Where's Jordan? I can't find it.
Well, you know, last year, Charlie, on this very show, you, for one, questioned his schedule in the off season, and we questioned it, you know, for quite a while, and now he's not playing in the off season, and now we're questioning, why is he playing? So poor Jordan can't win, you know? I'm sure that he learned a lot from last year, where he went all over the world Having said that, he still had a great year last year. I'm not one of these guys that thinks that Jordan Spieth didn't play well last year. I think just the year before was one of the great years of all time. So if last year was Jordan's bad year, that just shows you how good he is. So I think he was top five on the money list, top five FedEx Cup, top five Ryder Cup points, top five in a lot of things. So I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan. So perhaps he's resting this offseason, getting his body back in shape. I do think he's playing in Australia later on this year. But, you know, last year he ran himself down and played in everything and made all the money, which he probably should do. And then, of course, he came under criticism for it. And now he's not playing, and now we're wondering where the heck he is. See? So guys in that upper echelon, they can't win no matter what they do.
Well, how about William?
Our job is to say, where's Jordan Spieth?
How about William McGirt, who is trying to do the right thing in that he didn't want to fly across the world to play in China. He wanted to support the local event here. He wasn't interested in the money. He just wanted to do the Sanderson right, the gentleman that sponsors the tournament that's being played in Jackson, Mississippi. And because he was eligible for the other tournament, he can't play in the second tournament. Does that make sense?
That might have to be looked into.
Boy, you think? I mean, these guys...
Well, yeah, but I think at the time when the tour made that rule, they probably had the right idea in mind that, you know, most people are going to play in the World Golf event. But I respect William, and I think I really believe that his situation will bring light to this decision and maybe get it back on the table and discuss it. But I think, you know, probably years ago when they made the rule, Charlie, the tour's heart was in the right place to protect the people that were putting up almost $9 or $10 million. But if another player wants to go play in a PGA Tour sanctioned event, he should be able to do it.
I admire William McGirt. He's a journeyman player. He won this year. He's a great family guy. He went over and ended up playing in the Pro-Am, which is really good. But that's our music. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. One more week behind us. Let's look forward to next week. Bill, I'll see you this week in Houston. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Insperity, the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am, which is just an excellent, excellent tournament. Come and see me. Bye-bye.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.